This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection. I'm your host, Jeannie Joseph, and the Executive Director of the Human-Animal Connection. And today I have Bella with me. And since she was 9 years old, she has been doing just about anything and everything at Track Ranch. Now, Track is therapeutic ranch for animals. And Bella, tell us a little bit about what is so exciting about working there.
So Therapeutic Ranch for Animals and Kids was founded sort of on the basis of just having a really welcoming community that accepts everyone and allows animals to build just a great connection with kids. You don't need to have any specific needs or desires to grow coming here, but it kind of, the therapeutic aspect just kind of happens whether you're planning for it or not. All of our animals really love what they do. All of our programs, we very carefully pick out animals that work very well with kids. So we do riding lessons, we do birthday parties, summer camps, and then our therapeutic services. And then we're also a 501c3 nonprofit, so we also take tax deductible donations.
That's excellent. Yeah. And one of the things we were just talking before the show started that we're totally in agreement about is that it's really important to recognize what animals like, you know, what their opinions are. You know, some animals love working with small children. Some animals prefer working with teens and so on. They have a real sense of what they want to do. And I love that you are really watching, observing, paying attention, seeing, oh, this animal really likes young kids, or this animal really likes to be hugged by five people at once. Or
perhaps don't want to stress out any of our animals, and we want them to enjoy what they do just as much as the kids interacting with them. So we make sure that all of our animals genuinely enjoy the work that they do and are always relaxed around kids.
Great, great. Well, we're going to focus today on your service donkeys because I think that's so exciting. A lot of people have heard about therapy dogs or therapy horses, but this notion of therapy donkeys and even service donkeys is very exciting to me, of course, because we have two therapy donkeys we do therapy work with. And it's just, I really want to hear all about, tell us about your service donkeys, how they came to you, what kind of service they do, and how you've trained them to be service donkeys.
Yeah, absolutely. So we get our animals just about any possible way you could think of. Some are donations, some are rescues, some are purchased. They really come from every possible way you could even think of. We've had college students come by and drop off a goat they realized would not actually work in their dorm room. We've had people bring over their amazing horses that have been retired after a long time of work. One of our donkeys right now we've had since she was a tiny baby, and we had her mom here who passed quite a while ago, but she lived well into her 40s. And then we have a new donkey we just actually got, Betty Pischetti. She's amazing. She just came in day one. She just loved what we do here. And then we have two other little tiny guys, Rio and Smooch. I'm not positive on how they came in, but they're a huge bonus to our program. They're kind of our little young guys who like to run around and have a little bit more energy. As far as training, the main aspect that we really look for them is just that they're calm, that they don't have any fear of people, of children. Every now and then there is something that we need to work out, but generally the animals just provide that service on their own. They're just naturally very, very calm animals. They are very intuitive. They're very also authentic in the reactions that they provide. So if a child comes up and is really loud and just kind of acting like that predator to our prey animals, that donkey will respond really quickly, and that child will see a direct correlation between his actions and the donkey's kind of seeing that action to them, and they get upset, they could get scared, they could walk away. And that's a really great skill to teach that child, of how to look at their own actions and how that can affect someone else nearby to them. So as far as training, they honestly do more for us than we really end up doing with them, but there is always training to be done. You know, if a donkey is exhibiting signs of, you know, being a little too pushy at the gate, that's something we can work on. But other than that, they really just provide that service on their own just naturally.
Great. Now, I know you work with all kinds of animals, all kinds of therapeutic experiences, but what do you think it is about the donkey experience that's kind of unique to them, unique to donkeys?
Yeah, so donkeys have some really crazy attributes. They're just really strong and sturdy, and they're the ones that we have are miniature donkeys, so they're a little bit smaller, so they're a little bit more approachable to the children. They're very sure-footed. They don't really get startled at a lot of stuff, and when they do, they think through it a little bit better than some of the bigger horses who may just want to run away. But they are just that smaller size, and they're just very gentle and kind and calm in general. Ours especially, we've never had any issues with that. They just genuinely are affectionate and enjoy those interactions with kids and adults too. Our Peekaboo, our one that we've had since she was a baby, when her mom was here, she would rest her head in our laps when we would kind of sit on the rail in there during animal free time at our summer camp, and she would quite literally just snuggle up to us just because she genuinely enjoyed that human interaction.
That's really wonderful. Yeah. And, you know, I think humans, well, I mean, humans wouldn't be humans without the help of donkeys. I mean, for thousands of years, they've helped like on every level, you know, in peace and in war and in commerce and friendship. I mean, there's so much donkeys have done. I think, you know, we're really interested in helping humans understand that donkeys are really special, that they're very intuitive. They're very intelligent. You know, there's so many negative preconceptions, you know, like the dumbass or whatever. But, you know, we're definitely interested in helping people have a one-on-one experience, a moment where they can see that the donkey really does know what's going on with you. You know, they do feel your emotions, your energy, your moods, and it's really helpful for children to be able to understand that. Sometimes they don't recognize how their energy or their emotions are affecting other beings. And when a donkey can give them that instant feedback of saying, hey, you know, this is too much, slow down, you know, that's really, it can help a lot of children recognize their own emotional states and then make choices about how to manage their energy and emotions. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge aspect of our animal assisted life skills and equine assisted learning of having kids just see how their actions are reflected in that animal. And even some that may come from a place of fear, those donkeys are generally very calm and they're going to stand pretty still, and they're a smaller size than the larger horses. So that may be a great introduction to those larger horses and kind of getting over some of that fear of interacting with our animals.
That's a really great point. Yeah, that to be kind of, to have a being be still and present in the face of your fear is gives you a chance to let it dissolve, let the fear dissolve, you know what I mean? At kind of in your own pace. I mean, do you have any stories of kids who've come and kind of been transformed just from interacting with donkeys?
I mean, honestly, too many to count. Personally, as a kid, I would get a little bit anxious with some of the larger horses and competing and going faster on the horses. And there have been a couple times when I was pretty young and I had just gotten a little overwhelmed and I would be crying, and the donkeys, almost like dogs, would quite literally just snuggle up and just really understand that someone was going through something and they just want to be near them and comfort them. So they're just naturally very comforting animals. So
yeah,
many, many times, very small children are often really scared of the large horses. So I've seen that happen pretty much weekly, where they run right up to the donkeys and they want to go in and they want to go hang out with them, and they don't really have that fear and they go to the larger horses. And I mean, rightfully so, for a young child who's never interacted with a horse, they have a little bit more fear. So they're able to kind of learn in a safer, calmer, slower environment some maybe horse rules of, you know, don't run up behind them, how to approach them appropriately, looking at their blind spots. You know, you want to approach them to their shoulder, not directly behind them, not directly on their forehead, things like that. So it can teach them really, really helpful skills and how they can apply those to larger animals.
Definitely to larger animals and also people, you know, the awareness of how your body language, your speed, your emotion is affecting another being, whether that be an animal or a human, I think is a really, really useful lesson. Some kids are, of course, more tuned to that than others, but all kids can learn to improve their awareness of, you know, spatial relations, because you can rub people the wrong way by getting too close or by being too far. People can think you're too aloof or whatever, you know, so the donkey kind of gives you instant feedback, you know, as to how you're projecting yourself into the world. So that's a wonderful experience. Yeah. And so what is it, you know, about animals that were you always from birth interested in animals, or how did you get started on your journey?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I always wanted to ride horses. I always wanted to take lessons. And in 2009, my parents brought me over to track at our old location on Craycroft and signed me up for horseback riding lessons. My first lesson included no horseback riding, just learning all the basics on the ground. And we had our little reins that you used to control the horse tied to my brother and I, our waists. And we had to pretend that each other were the horses to learn those basic skills. So that's a really fun memory that I have. And after that, I just took lessons weekly for years and years. And then we did some Gymkhana clubs, so some little tiny kid barrel racing, things like that. And eventually I started volunteering and doing summer camps. And then I was hired in 2017 and have worked here pretty much ever since.
That's an amazing record. That's an amazing record. I know track started, I think, in 2007. Is that right? Do you want to tell us a little bit about the origin story and Scott and his wife, Liz, was it?
Scott and Jill are our founders. Scott is still heavily involved. He's here every single day working really hard. You know, this is his dream. This is something that's really important to him and his wife, Jill. But when they founded it, you know, they may tell it a little bit better, but just from my perspective, at least, I think that they just really wanted to create that community in Tucson where animals and children could interact in a really just great setting and create that community where everyone is accepted. I know Jill has a history with special education and Scott has a history with horses, and they really wanted to bring those two things together and just create this really, really kind of specific community where we provide the education and that experience to farm life, ranch life that kids may not really have experience with. And we really, really talk a lot about just respect of each other, just having really great boundaries and using those animals to teach those. So they just really wanted that great community in Tucson to and then serve our community with bringing animals to elementary schools, to dementia facilities, to places all around Tucson to share that same experience so people can enjoy that as well.
Yeah, I know we're going to meet four of your donkeys and you're going to meet two of ours on World Donkey Day, which is May 8th, 2025, if you're listening to us now. In this, we really want to celebrate that. And I think it's so important for kids, you know, you go back, let's say our grandparents' generation or whatever it was, you know, animals were part of growing up. But in today's world, kids are sort of separated from the wild side. And there's really something wonderful about kids having an experience of beings that are not, you know, on a screen and, you know, actually have instant reactions and like that. What have you seen in terms of the benefits in your own life or the other kids you've worked with by just being able to get a little touch? I mean, obviously not wild like wild tigers, but you know, animals that are still animals. What's that like?
I mean, they do have a lot to teach, and you already touched on it. That just kind of age of everyone has an electronic device in their hand. We very much enforce the no phone zone around here. So we'll have families come in, you know, parents and little kids that maybe don't really get enough one-on-one time where they can look each other in the eye and have a mutual experience that doesn't involve a TV. I mean, that's just something that's happening, whether they're trying to or not. So this provides a really great escape for just families as a whole, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, to just come in and have those really unique experiences together as a family without those distractions that are kind of pulling their attention away from the kids. And they can also have those learning and teaching experiences as well with the kids, where they can, you know, maybe watch dad pick up a chicken for the first time and laugh if he gets a little startled if it tries to flap away. And so I've seen some little kids teach their parents the appropriate way to handle a chicken or how to walk behind a horse if they've never done that. So it's just a really great experience to get to see these families come in and just have that moment of joy, getting to have some family time with any of our animals, really, not just donkeys.
Yeah, great. So tell us a little bit about what all animals do you have there besides the donkeys and the horses? What else do you have?
Yeah, so we have a bunny and chicken coop there separated down the middle between behavioral levels. So we just make sure all of our little guys are very safe. They have an outdoor portion as well. And then we have our goat pen. And personally, I think we have some of the more calmer goats I've seen. They do really enjoy kids and not too jumpy on them. So that is more of a safe place that we can have some kids play around with them. And then we have our three potbelly pigs and then our donkeys. We have four in total. We have Peekaboo, Betty, Paschetti, Smooch, and Rio. And then we have our three miniature horses as well. And then we have around 26 full-sized horses, 20 to 26, depending. If you're counting those little guys as well. But all of them are used in a lot of our programs. We don't ride any of the miniature horses. We just ride the larger horses. But every single animal, except for the pigs, they don't travel very well. We'll go out to petting zoos around our community and kind of share that experience with them.
Well, that is absolutely fabulous. We're going to take a short little break. When I come back, we're going to be speaking more with Bella from TRAC about some of the experiences that she's witnessed of transformation with children and animals. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection. I'm speaking with Bella, and she's been working at TRAC, Therapeutic Ranch for Animals and Kids. And every day you come in and have wonderful experiences. Just give me an everyday story that really touches your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. So my personal favorite one is every day I get to see kids, you know, start when they're maybe 4 years old and progress to where they're pretty much teenagers, right along with me as I grew up here. But one of my favorite ones, there was this little girl who was just so sweet, and she was just really hesitant. She hadn't really had much experience with talking to strangers at all, just with her own family history. And she came in and was really, really nervous. And I have a personal policy where I'm never going to put a kid on a horse who's crying. You know, I'm going to let them tell me, okay, I'm ready to ride. Even if they're sad or scared, that's okay. But they need to be a little vocalized. And she calmed down right when we put her on the horse. And as we're walking around, she just starts to get this huge smile on her face. And she was young enough, I had to be standing right next to her. But you could just see her completely open up while she was on that horse. She started grinning from ear to ear. She was listening to everything she needed to do. She was just doing everything that you'd think that a kid had been riding for years and years was doing. She just really, really took to it. And when she got off, she came around and gave me a hug around my leg and just said, thank you. That was really fun. And her parents were just absolutely shocked that, one, she was speaking to a stranger, two, that she had just even gotten on that horse. So I see things like that all the time. And luckily for her, I got to watch her progress through her riding program for years and years and years, all the way up to where she was loping on a horse. So she was basically running. And she went from being a little kid who was even too young to be allowed to do that, all the way to being a really successful student. So we see stuff like that all the time. Kids I've grown up with, kids that came in here when I was young, just watching them succeed and really do well and learn those really basic life skills that are sometimes a little bit more difficult to teach in school, but they get to see that through that hard work from our volunteering program. They get to learn what it's like to, you know, do jobs that may not be your favorite job, and right, they can actually turn that around and then turn that into really great, you know, resume keywords and end up getting full-time careers based off of the skills that they learn just right here in our programs.
That's so great. I mean, I think it's so wonderful that an animal can help a child blossom in a way that maybe other methods haven't. I mean, you know, all methods are good if they're helpful, but I think there's something unique about what animals bring to the experience, you know, just that sort of like a horse can understand, okay, this child is a little frightened, a little nervous, but the horse sees the sweetness. You know what I mean? Like the horse doesn't, I mean, I think the horse sees the fear, but is not stopped by the fear. You know what I mean? Like that's not the final answer. It's like, okay, the child is scared. And how can I give this child a beautiful experience? How can I help this child feel safe, you know, with me? And I think that that generosity of spirit that animals, that especially therapy animals, you know, obviously not every animal, but, you know, animals that whose purpose this is. And I think you probably see in your own life that there are some animals out in other circumstances maybe that would never be, you know, a TRAC ranch animal. I mean, that's just not their destiny. It doesn't mean they're bad animals, but that's not their purpose in life. You know what I mean? So I think that's great that you have assembled quite a crew of animals that this is like, yeah, this is what I'm here to do. I'm here to make people feel good and to help them feel safe. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with our horses in our horseback riding program, they can be some of the most annoying horses ever to the kids, because if the kid is having an issue, and we can see that from across the arena, if they're pulling too hard on their face when they should be having loose reins and they should be kicking instead, we can see those little things. And sometimes we let them work it out, but that horse will just completely stop and wait. And sometimes they'll actually deliver that child to us. They'll walk over to an instructor while the child's trying to get them to go the other way and say, hey, fix this. but they just do it in such a kind and calm way. And obviously we have horses that can go along with a child as they progress. So we don't just have those horses. We do have horses that are for the more advanced student that needs a little bit more training and experience in order to handle them appropriately. But we do that on purpose. So when kids first come in, we put them on a horse that is really calm, and we call them like our teacher horses or our babysitter horses, who just genuinely get it. They just understand what their role is, and they understand their job is to keep that child safe. Even on the windiest day, you know, they're not even glancing at anything blowing by them. They understand what their role is that day, and they're just very quietly and calmly fulfilling that role. And then we have those horses that can take that kid to the next level, who's progressed really well through our program and is ready for that real challenge and has the skills to do that really safely and effectively. So we have pretty much every range of that you can think of. And that girl I was speaking about previously, she did end up riding one of our more spirited horses, who had been pretty spirited in the past. And once we started seeing that he was really calming down and getting a little older, we started kind of working on him with younger kids, and just watching his entire body just calm down. He just really settled the second we put a younger kid on him. And he just told us that was his purpose. And I genuinely think he enjoys those younger kids, just walking around with them a lot more than he ever enjoyed going fast, which was a shock to all of us because we thought he just wanted to run and run. But I think he just genuinely enjoys younger children, and he enjoys just a slower pace. So we see things like that all the time, though.
Yeah, well, that's really beautiful, that the notion that the animal can be involved in a healing self-discovery process, you know, process of really finding their true heart space, you know what I mean? Like that horse that you thought was just wanted to run and be wild, and maybe that was true at a time, but there's something else for him, which is the slowness, the gentleness, and that can be very rewarding. So, I mean, I think that's an ideal animal therapy, human interaction situation when both sides are growing, when both sides are learning, when both sides are enriching their heart and expanding their potential for who they really are. And to discover that in animals, where we think, okay, this horse is for this group, but then we find out, no, you know what? It's really this other group that the horse is really brings out that horse's true heart. You know, that's really awesome to witness that. Wow. Okay. Well, do you have like some favorite animals at the ranch? I know you love them all equally, but you have some favorites?
Right. My absolute all-time favorite is that horse that was really spirited, and then he got to calm down a lot. His name's Manyoso. We call him Yossi, but he used to be quite a fast-spirited horse, and he calmed down a lot. So I got to experience him when I was ready to progress to a faster horse when I was a kid, and then I got to experience him when I was teaching and putting smaller kids on his back and see him really calm down. And his mom is actually part of our program as well. She's aged out of any of our riding stuff, but she's just very happy here living out the rest of her days, just providing, you know, that sweet little, she'll nuzzle your hand when you walk by. And she's just very affectionate and just likes to kind of say hi to people, but we're not using her for any of our programs anymore. And that's another thing I really love here, is we're not ever getting rid of horses because they're too old for our program or anything like that. If that horse has shown us that they enjoy kids and they're just happy being here, we're keeping them, even if all they can provide is just hanging out and meeting our guests. That's more than enough for us. So we like to say we have kind of a collection of some elderly animals sometimes, but that's a good thing. And we really kind of like that aspect. You know, some places will have like baby goat yoga, but We're not just primarily kind of using those young, cute baby animals. We're also using our really kind and gentle older animals that have worked a really long time and just have that really great understanding of how to work with people. So I think that's kind of special about our program as well.
That is definitely very special. You know, the older animals bring a kind of quality of wisdom and gentleness and slowness. And some people really need that. You know, they need to just have a slow interaction. I mean, not to say that a fast interaction isn't wonderful, but the value of a slow ambassador, a horse ambassador, you know, that I think it's wonderful that you have that perspective of the value of an elderly animal. Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely. And that's even more helpful. We have our summer camps going all summer. We have our spring break and winter break camps. So when we have a large number of kids that have maybe never interacted with a horse, we have those really great calm animals that can kind of help a child along in that journey of just meeting a horse for the first time.
So great, Bella. How can people get involved if they want to volunteer or support or just have an experience? How can they get connected to you?
Yeah, so our website has all of our stuff on that. If you just Google Track Ranch Tucson, that'll take you right to it. We have all of our tabs for all of our programs. We love our volunteers. To sign up for that, you would just go register and then sign up for our next upcoming volunteer orientation. And that will get you in to help feed the animals, help care for them, help give them water, clean up after them. And it teaches some of those skills I was talking about before that are so lacking right now. Those just really basic life skills of learning how to, you know, do a chore and see that immediate reaction of the animal, seeing their nice clean stall. Our summer camp is now enrolling, and that's a really great way to get children involved who have never really been part of our program before. We take them really slowly through the rules, and we have a bunch of really fun activities. They get to ride a horse. It is really hot, but we make it work for the summer. We have some water flare. We hose our horses down to help them with the summer as well, so it doesn't end up being too bad. But we always have, pretty much always have a wait list for a horsemanship riding lesson. So if someone is interested in that, you could always go on our website and find out how to get involved with that, or shoot us an email if you have any questions. But honestly, my favorite part about what we do here is we have our family membership, which allows the entire family for the whole year to come in and just really experience those animals without having to be a part of a program. They just come in during our members' hours, which are posted, and they just get to hang out. They get to pet our animals. They get to just say hi to their favorite animal, and that's really all that there is to it. So that one is a great way to get involved, personally. Yeah. And we also, we're a 501c3, so a lot of people really like doing tax-deductible donations around tax season. So if you're not really interested in necessarily coming out here, it's a little too far. We are located at River and Alvernon. That is another great way to have people get involved, because that goes directly to our animals and helps us give them the best care possible.
Give us your website so people can get in touch.
Yeah, that is just tracktucson.org, and that is T-R-A-K. And that stands for Therapeutic Ranch for Animals and Kids. We also have all of our social media under the same name, just Track Ranch Tucson. And if you ever forget it, you can always just type T-R-A-K Ranch Tucson into Google. And that should be the first one that pops up.
Well, thank you so much, Bella. We look forward to meeting your four wonderful donkeys. I can't wait to meet them. And thank you for all the great work that you're doing. And congratulations on such wonderful yourself of having such a wonderful career with Track.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.